Well, it's nice to be back in this room. I haven't really done church in here in a very long time. It might have been with Max Lapser. When was he last here? Three people know. Yeah. Okay. Well, I heard a great little quote from George Burns. You remember George Burns? He said the secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning, a good ending, and to make sure that those two things are as close together as possible. So drive safely. Thank you for coming. I do have another one for you. This is about a guy who dies and goes to heaven. And the only thing is he has this sack over his shoulder. He shows up at the pearly gates with a sack, and St. Peter sees this and says, "I'm sorry, sir, there are no earthly belongings allowed into heaven." "Oh, but you've got to let me bring this in, and I'm sorry, that's the rules. But this is like the essence of all the work I've done on earth." By now, St. Peter's kind of curious what could be so important in this sack. And so the guy sets the sack down. St. Peter reaches in. He pulls out the entire contents, which is these 10 bars of gold, these 10 gold bricks. And St. Peter looks at the gold and looks at the guy and says, "So you want to bring in pavement?" So it's a cute little joke, but also there's a little message there for me, like what is valuable? What's really valuable in our lives? And today my talk is entitled Leap, Look, and Listen. Leap, look, and that's what your mom told you before crossing the street, right? Leap, look, and listen? Not really, no. But this, what I'm going to do is talk about three major turning points in my life, three big spiritual lessons that I learned and how they apply to you. Okay? So leap, look, and listen. The leap part of my story has to do with how I got to be doing what I'm doing today. I started out loving music as a kid, loved to sing. I remember I was 9 years old. My mom used to play ukulele around the living room, you know, for years, and finally I'm age 8 or 9 and said, "Show me how to do that." And so I jumped in and suddenly was strumming and playing chords and singing just as a young kid. My grandmother saw this and said, "Oh, the kid's got talent. We should get him piano lessons." So next, you know, piano lessons came, and then junior high I was in the orchestra playing bass, and it went on. I learned guitar. Guitar was my fifth instrument. And just, you know, loved doing music as a kid all the way through high school. I was really involved in my church youth group. We'd do folk masses and spaghetti dinner fundraisers where we'd have people singing along. So it was just a big joy of my life. And, you know, it came time to go to college, and I'm thinking, well, I'll be a music major. That's a no-brainer. And I was talking with my dad about that, and he said, "Well, yeah, you could definitely do that. I'm sure it'd be fun. Just so you know, Charlie, a lot of musicians end up traveling a lot. It might be hard to raise a family." And I really knew I wanted to have a family, and so I thought, well, And I kind of reconsidered and ended up, long story short, ended up getting a 5-year degree in architecture. Kind of a change of plans there. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of late nights staring at the stars. What am I doing? But graduated and was working. I worked about 3 years in professional architects' offices. But I remember, you know, being at the office, sitting in my little cubicle. Anyone here work in a cubicle? I love that word, cubicle. And I was sitting there just, you know, drafting, and but all the while kind of thinking, what am I doing here? You know, why, this doesn't feel like it's really me. Is this a fit? And I swear to you, the engineers and architects walking by my cubicle were probably looking in thinking, what is he doing here? You know, was it really my place? Now, around that time, I was also starting to get on my spiritual journey, and the music I was writing and playing guitar, this music started to reflect that inner awakening that was happening. And someone that I knew heard this, and they said, "Oh, you know who would love your music? There's this place in town called Unity. Have you heard of them?" I said, "Well, I think I've heard the name. Never been to a Unity church." And so I made a call. It turns out there was a group doing some music production. So they said, "We could use another male voice. Drop on by." And so I became part of these this music program that was happening there at Unity. This was in Houston. It was a big church there. And suddenly I was on stage in a group of like 15 people on the back row and kind of singing along in the chorus. And every now and then they'd shoot me forward for a 10-second solo, and then I'd hide in the crowd again. And you know, just getting used to being in front of people. And time went on, and someone said, hey, you should do a solo in church on Sunday. Why don't you talk to the music director? And did that, and it was really nerve-wracking, but I did it anyway. What I noticed is I was a lot better at home sitting on my bed than I was in front of 500 people. Like, my fingers didn't quite work as well, but I realized that they wanted me to succeed too. You know, it was to everyone's benefit. So that was my fire walk, just walking through those fears step by step. And then the two music directors said, hey, we're going to go sing at a church about an hour away. Would you like to come along? You know, do morning services, an afternoon concert? I said, yeah, that sounds like fun. So I went. And it opened my eyes big time. Suddenly I realized what was possible. You know, doing the music for the whole service and then the concert in the afternoon with all, you know, using music as a vehicle for connecting and opening and awakening. And it was just a whole new world of possibilities. And I was so just excited that I, the next morning, Monday morning, gave my 2 weeks notice at work and never looked back. And I remember feeling like I was asking God to help me walk on water. Like, here I am stepping out, no visible means of support. How is this going to work? And what I discovered, there was always, at every step, there was always enough. I was always provided for, just a little at a time. It was definitely not a get-rich-quick scheme that I stepped into. But what an abundant life in terms of the experiences and giving my gifts and the people I've met and the places I've gone. Just stepping into my true place, my right place. And now it's been 28 years since stepping out, making that leap. You know, from my little cubicle into what my true gifts were. You know, if I'd stayed in that cubicle, I think it would have been a slow death. It's a slow soul death, because that's not where I belonged. And in some ways, really, I couldn't not leave. Do you know that feeling? Like, I can't not make this change. It didn't have to make sense logically. I remember my aunt attended one of the early concerts I did, and she was saying, your grandfather would roll over in his grave if he knew that after, you know, this big degree in architecture, you're wandering around the country singing for love offerings. It's like, but you know, it didn't matter what my aunt's opinion was. I mean, I knew this was my right path. But it was a stretch. It was a leap from, you know, the regular paycheck, the insurance plan, the perks, to I have to do what I have to do. So I'm here to ask you, what is your next leap? You know, it may not be this vast career change, but what are some gifts of yours that you've been hearing that inner voice saying, you've got to give that gift, you've got to stretch. You know, what are you sitting on that you've been wanting to do? What's your next leap? How is life tapping you on the shoulder? Each of us is unique. We each have a special little part of the plan. I don't think I'm telling you something you don't know, but maybe what you're not doing is moving. You're getting off the bench and into the game with that sweet gift that you want to give. What's your next stretch? What can you add into your program, into what you're doing? Because, you know, it adds life to you when you really give what you've been given to give. It adds to your life. So leap. Look and listen. The look part of my story has to do with early in my spiritual career, my spiritual journey, I ran into this little meditation group, and they offered this little free evening program one evening. So I dropped in. I think it was called something about higher consciousness. And they had us do this one exercise. And it was very simple, but at the same time, maybe the most challenging thing I've done. And so they said, just find a partner, sit across from them, and for 20 minutes, just look in their eyes in silence. So who would like to sign up for that right now? That was a stretch. And I knew that there was something here for me. Do you ever meet people where you look in their eyes and you feel like, I want to know what they know? And that's what was happening for me. I feel like there was this peace I saw in the people teaching it. And I want to know what they know. So I said, oh, great, I'll do this. So I remember I sat across a total stranger and started looking in his eyes and thinking, oh, my gosh, they can see into my soul. I was feeling kind of protective and embarrassed, and then my mind was just chattering a lot, I remember. And then I remember thinking, oh, my God, it's only been 3 minutes. And every now and then, just even for a split second, it felt like things kind of lined up where we really saw each other more deeply. And then it kind of drifted away and just kind of being and hanging out. And eventually the 20 minutes was up. But I said, I think I want to do this more. And so I came back. And I did this exercise many times. And the more that I did it, the more that I was aware of more empty space in between my chattering mind and maybe a little bit more connection where we kind of lined up really seeing soul to soul. And then as I did it more, a new thing started to happen. I became aware of when the other person's mind was chattering and when it was still. Like I could tell. It's like, how can I know that? But like something, we're just sinking more and more into our innate connection. And I didn't really believe it, so I actually broke the rules. I said the next time, listen, I think I'm seeing something. Do you mind if I just like kind of jump in when I think I see your mind still and it's chattering? And every time I did it, I was right on. It was accurate. And then for me, the big deal happened. We did a marathon on a Saturday. So a bunch of us got together and did a 20-minute set in silence, took a quick break, came back to a second set with the same partner, a little break, a fourth set of 20 minutes, a short break, a third set, a fourth set of 20 minutes. Somewhere halfway through the fourth set, I remember I was so merged in consciousness with my partner that there was this moment where I couldn't remember which body I was looking out of. It was just us. We had dropped into that oneness that we talk about. You know, I grew up singing that song, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Well, back then that was a nice thought. Now it was really true. I was in it. And what a shift that was in how I see us. You know, when I'm with other people, it's just, I can't help but change how I see looking in someone else's eyes. You know, I was thinking of this oneness, that's the name on the building, right? Unity. That's the name of the church. It's just saying oneness. And that's really what we're here to see, is that it's us. There's not the separation. You know, separation is an illusion. How can we drop back into letting it be us? Like the one body. So that was a big shift for me. And you know, I didn't have to go to ministerial school for 3 years. I didn't have to read a stack of books 12 feet tall of spiritual books. It was just stopping and being with who we are. It's available right here. And I know that in our culture over the years, you know, I know that growing up, we walking down the sidewalk, often we'd avert looking in people's eyes. I think with each decade, we're more open to really looking and seeing. But how can we take it even deeper? How can I invite you to look even more deeply with all the people in your lives? You know, we were singing Io sono spirito, I am spirit. I think spirit, if we really knew who we are as spirit, we'd be very comfortable spirit looking in spirit's eyes. So how can we drop into that? And it's one of those chicken and egg things. Sometimes you have to look to see it rather than to be it before you're willing to look. But to me, this has been one of the greatest gifts on my spiritual journey, is just this simple practice of really connecting and seeing the oneness, seeing that deep eternal connection. So how can I invite you to see that, to look even more deeply? Even with your family. So leap, look, and listen. The listen part of my story has to do with songwriting. I know you're not all songwriters, but I had this experience, and maybe you can see how it applies to you. Yeah, it used to be for years that songs would just come when they came. You don't get to predict when a song's going to drop in. And But then there came this day where I wanted to write a song for someone on her birthday. And so this was different. That's not how it works. You don't get to pick the day. But here I was. I wanted to write it on her birthday. So I got out my guitar, my blank piece of paper, my pen, my little recorder. And I started to sit there and go, well, what would be a good chord progression? I don't know. I'm trying to make something up. It really wasn't flowing. It was just kind of clunky, forced, effortful. And then out of nowhere, I heard this voice. Now, I don't hear voices very often, so this is not a common thing. But this voice said three things. It said, close your eyes, shut up, and listen. And it was kind of an emphatic voice. I thought, well, okay. And I got quiet, and I closed my eyes. And then I began to hear this little wisp of a melody. And I thought, well, that's pretty. And I sang that into the tape recorder not to lose it. And I listened some more and heard a little bit more and sang that just to capture it. And then after I had, you know, a little bit, I said, well, what are the guitar chords that go to that? And then I started playing and recording that and then started to hear some words. I was writing down words. And before long, I had this complete song in 30 minutes. Just from getting out of the way. Just like opening to something greater than myself. I wasn't trying to force it, just, you know, opening to receive. Now, maybe you're not a songwriter. How can you use this? You know, maybe there are other ways you want creativity to come in, something you're trying to visualize. Maybe it's how you're going to lay out your living room. Or we all need help with guidance, don't we? You ask a question, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? So maybe you can close your eyes, get quiet, and listen. I wrote a song years ago. It's called I Thank You. And I love the third verse and what it says about this. It says, so I listen to your guidance when and where you'd have me be. Then I place myself into your hands and I do it gratefully. Gratefully. Do you ever ask a question, ask God for an answer, and you listen and you get an answer? And then you say, do you have any other answers? Well, and receive it gratefully. You know, often, you know, sometimes we don't know why that's the answer we're getting. And it becomes revealed later. You know, how can we step into trust? There's a great line in A Course in Miracles that says, trust would settle every problem now. Sometimes it's just, you know, stepping into trust in the process. So it's a great practice to listen for an answer and then just surrender and say, okay, I'll go with that. I used to, has anyone here ever played with a pendulum before? Years ago, someone here tried this, Charlie, so I did. It's, the idea is you have something on a string, a rock or a whatever, and so you ask a yes or no question, and if it starts going clockwise, that means it's a yes. It's like your higher self knows somehow how to answer, like something that knows beyond you. So clockwise is yes, counterclockwise is no. And so I tried this for a short time and just said, well, okay, well, let's see what happens. But the second half of it is to be willing to surrender to the answer that's given. And that's quite a practice to say, I'm going to surrender and go with what I hear. So I would do that, and it was interesting. And sometimes, you know, if I got a yes, I'd do it, and yeah, maybe it didn't always work out. There'd be some stumbling in the process, but I got to learn both the surrender and to kind of adjust as I go. You know, if you're not in the game, if you're sitting on the bench the whole time, you're not going to learn anything. So why not get out and stumble and bump into a few things? What I noticed though is after doing this for about a week, like something opened up in me that began to know how to listen. And I no longer needed the pendulum. I could throw that away. But there's some part that knew how to listen and was willing to surrender. You know, I was talking about sometimes you bump, you know, there's some bumps along the way. Well, maybe that didn't quite work out. Well, you know, it's course correction. You know, the NASA shots to the moon, they were always 99% off course. But, you know, course correction, course correction, course correction, course correction. But the willingness to get into the game is so important. Get off the bench, into the game. So listen. How can you listen? How can you make yourself more available to guidance, to creativity, to something beyond you? and the surrendering part too. So leap. What's your next step? What's your next stretch? How is life tapping you on the shoulder to give your gifts? Look. How can we more truly see who we are, spirit to spirit, as we connect in the eyes? And listen. How can you make yourself available to guidance, to creativity, and then surrender to that and learn and grow? So leap, look, and listen. Thank you for your time. Have fun playing with this. And I also want to invite you this afternoon at 12:30. We're going to have just a little mini concert in here and squeeze it in before heading off to lunch. We're looking at 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. Just and music, to me, music is not the goal. It's the vehicle. You know, the goal is that connection, that awakening, getting into that energy. And music is a wonderful vehicle for that. So we'll have some fun with that, too, at 12:30. So thank you very much. God bless. Cheers.